T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein.
Yeah, but I've never heard of hamstring fatigue. I've never heard of a tired hamstring before. It just needed a nap.
Layla Rahimi.
Just the hamstring.
The hamstring needed to go to sleep.
Not the quad, not the glute, not anything surrounding. Just the hamstring.
Here comes the 1-2. Fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Back goes Wisdom. Wisdom can't get it. It bounces over the fence. And the ball game is over. A ground rule double for Yadier Molina. And the Cardinals have beaten the Cubs by a score of 3-2.
To shortstop, this would be a fitting end to a double play filled game. It's 6-4-3. And Minnesota splits the series here at Guaranteed Rate Field.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
He's basil.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Where did your meme go?
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, those outcomes were no fun. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We'll be joined in a few moments by Ian Happ of the Cubs, the co-host of the Compound Podcast. We'll talk some baseball thereafter. The Midday Midway comes your way at 10:40, and we're rearranging for 11 o'clock. Matt Spiegel is sick today, so he's not going to make his regular Thursday appearance, but we will have a surprise in that slot. And then at 11:25, Kevin Fishbane, Bears reporter at The Athletic, will join us with the results of his survey, what he found interesting and what he is finding interesting as the Bears prepare for training camp. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are going to meet live with the media on Tuesday. So it's not going to be a Zoom conference. It's going to be an actual real-life press conference. Also, Blackhawks brass are supposed to meet the media today. So when we do hear from anybody involved, if there is a comment of some kind regarding all things going on with the Blackhawks, we'll turn around that news for you. 312-644-6767. That is the number at WSCR, The Score, that we call The Score Listener Line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to send an email, that goes to Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Your texts go to the text zone. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. She's at Layla Rahimi. I didn't get the polo memo, apparently, so it's just an orange T-shirt for me.
Jeez, Dan, we've been talking about Polo Thursday for 25 minutes.
Sorry.
What's going to happen?
I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you download the Odyssey app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook if you like. By liking the 670 The Score page. Watch Twitch. That's the cool place. That's where all the kids go to scream into the ether at each other behind unpronounceable names. It's twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. I'm looking at it as we speak. Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertsch direct that feed. They moderate the chat. They try to remove the crazy people, although it's hard to keep up because there's a whole lot of wackos out there.
I like the self-policing aspect of Twitch.
There's some of it. Like they'll gang up on somebody who they think is a cretin and try to drive them out of there. I can't. It's hard. You can't do a radio show and have everything we're doing and stay on Twitter and watch the text and also keep up with the Twitch chat. It's impossible. I don't know how anybody does it. You can sort of glance at it and see, you get some sort of sense of what they might be saying, and then you have to leave.
Did you see my guilty look of panic just now?
Why?
Because sometimes I'm like, Twitch comments. I'm like, still doing a radio show. Ah, yes. And that's my thought process.
You kind of get sucked in into the vortex of the Twitch.
And also, this is bad, given that I've been hosting now for 7 months. But every now and then, I'm just like enjoying listening to stuff on our show. And I'm like, wait, supposed to be talking.
I'm on the radio. Yes.
I see. Well, that's interesting. Like you and Goff yesterday, I was just like sitting there listening happily. And then I'm like, supposed to be talking during this segment.
Or you end up fighting with an idiot texter who doesn't quite understand something, and you respond to something. Hey, wait a second. This is kind of what the deal is here.
You know what? You know I do that.
Yeah.
But then we get funny texts, and then I laugh at those. So if you guys wonder what's happening, that's it, really.
It's so different than it used to be. You used to sit with a paper copy of the Tribune Sports section in front of you, and nothing. And there was nothing. And there was no internet. And you had a screen with callers on it, and you had a paper copy of the newspaper and a microphone.
And then you had a host telling you that they need a certain guest, and I'm like, how do you get them?
And then you talked about batting average and RBIs.
Don't know I still talk about those two things.
Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Jordan Malley is the guy on the board doing what he does. Yeah, it was a weird baseball night. Dylan Cease was bad. The bullpen was bad. Cody Hoyer was bad. Garrett Crochet was bad. And it happens.
Yes.
I just think it would be nice if the bullpen gave us some signs, because usually, even if you're a good team, the way I will look at a loss is you can get better. You can get closer to winning a championship in a loss. Low leverage baseball has value. And that's on your manager, that's on your coaches to try to resurrect guys. You try to reclaim guys. And I'm worried about Cody Hoyer. I'm worried about some of these guys. When it came to Foster and Hoyer and Crochet, we thought this bullpen was going to be knocked down. And you're trying to get guys back. You can do it in these losses. You can have a really good outing from a reliever that's struggling to find something. There's value in those innings. Those are big league innings.
Absolutely they are. And I think nobody knows better when they're being used than the actual bullpen reliever himself. But that doesn't take away from what he needs to be doing. This is his time. This is his work. Figure out what you need to be doing right here. What's going to work for you moving forward? And you go from there. I think when it comes to the bullpen, it has been the most disappointing part of the team, outside of even the injury aspect, because the expectations were there. And I think I've just got to accept the non-scientific stat that some relievers are just good every other year.
Yeah, veteran relievers have high variance. Sometimes they're just on it.
Every other year. That's where I start, and that's where I will now base my pitching evaluation for relievers. It's not scientific. I'm not a GM, but that's where I feel like I need to be with this.
And I think things
changed. White Sox pen is the best example.
And the three-batter rule has changed things, obviously. You have less control over matchups. So I do think that has also increased variance. And I don't know if it's really, has it shortened games? We have got enough sample to know if that's had any intended effect or not. I kind of stopped noticing it. I guess I think about it a little bit, but it stopped being top of mind for me. The three reliever rule, La Russa's made mention of it, but I still can't believe Tony La Russa's the manager of the White Sox. Has that ever happened to you? Like they'll show him and you have to remind yourself, oh yeah. He's managing the White Sox. It's so damn weird.
Yes.
Still, amid all of this and everything we've talked about, we get so caught up in the day-to-day of everything that he's the manager of the White Sox right now.
It is one of those reality check type of situations. And since we're on the topic of the Sox bullpen, I'm reminded of why I'm missing Evan Marshall, and I have to go back to the 17th for an update.
Sounds like a Judd Apatow movie.
Yes, miss it. Well, I was also forgetting Sarah Marshall. I watched that on a plane.
I love
that was
that
inappropriate.
Movie. I love that movie.
It's a good one. It really is.
It is. It has all the earmarks of all the Judd Apatow movies in that it's at least 20 minutes too long. And there's nothing in it where he has to be validated that his wife is hot.
Oh yeah, you're on that. How dare a man love his wife?
It's not that. It's one thing, but it's his craving for validation when she's in a movie. There has to be a scene of somebody saying she's hot or acting weird around her because she's hot.
If those are the abuses of power, I'm good with it.
I mean, he's the director. I'm not saying he can't do it, but that's somebody's a little needy.
You know, Dan Bernstein, you're dangerously getting close to me once again making the argument for a movie club. Let's just reset everybody on Evan Marshall because I miss him. Tony La Russa said he read James's report and that Evan Marshall is starting to play catch, but doesn't have a timetable for his return or when he will throw off a mound. White Sox PR astutely specifies that this was trainer James Kruk's report that he was referring to and not mine. And that is why I love James Fegan. That was on the 17th.
Okay.
All right. So still needing relievers, of course.
Yeah. It puts you in a position where you still have to go grab guys. But Luis Robert is playing baseball, and that makes me happy to know that La Pantera may be finding his way back to playing ball here. And we're going to get into what we heard from Yermin Mercedes also, I think, on the other side of Ian Happ, because that certainly bears discussion. I also want to mention, we should tease this now. We have decided we're doing something tomorrow. We're going to do Friday Fung.
Yep.
And this is an offshoot of having the two kids on who caught foul balls, who made spectacular defensive plays on consecutive days. And we noticed there was some tangential discussion about other people at games who've caught balls and
or didn't
and were the guy who said do I get to be on the radio for being hit in the face by a Paul Konerko home run? And we said no. And then we thought, well, wait a second, maybe the answer to that should be yes.
Yes.
Maybe so we've changed our answer. The answer is yes. So we want ball tales.
Woo.
About either you made the catch or you got hit in the face, or you got hit in the nuts, or yar, whatever happened. But it has to be connected to a player, because that's why this is fun.
No, because mine is not.
It's going to be obscure names. It's going to be people who hit it, people who gave you a ball. Anytime you've been at a major league game, it could even be a spring training game, but the major leaguer, the coach, the manager, who hit it, who threw it, attach the names to it, and we'll weave together a baseball memory tapestry.
I was laughing hard at that text from 815 yesterday that just said, this didn't happen to me when I got hit in the face with a Paul Konerko home run.
And I had to remember.
To which I asked if he kept the ball or got it, and he said no.
He didn't get it.
This is your day tomorrow.
I had to remember mine, and it was a Daryl Strawberry spring training home run, Mets-Dodgers in Vero Beach.
That's pretty cool.
At Dodger Town. And Strawberry hit the homer, and the ball was sitting on this little berm behind the field, and this 90-year-old security guard woman in her yellow jacket was standing there, and I just walked past her, and I grabbed the ball, and she wagged a finger at me, and I didn't care. But that was it. It was off the bat of none other than Daryl Strawberry.
Well, guess what? We probably will hear that story again tomorrow, because then I'll tell you mine that isn't connected to a player so much as an experience and just me being massively awkward. What else is new?
Next up, Ian Happ on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Ian Happ, outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
That's why playing at Wrigley is the best. Chicago and the Cubs faithful, they are incredible. They keep us up every single day.
Way back! Gone! Ian Happ ties up the game.
Ian Happ.
Get out the tape measure for Ian Happ.
What would you think about trying to do a quarantine coffees?
Dinner dollars for everybody. Ian Happ will touch them all.
Happ swings and it's a ground ball. Fair ball! Fair ball into the right field corner. This is going to drive in two. A two-run double. Cubs lead.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
I don't know if we've told this story before, but our old catching coordinator, who was also the field coordinator, I believe, yeah, for the Cubbies in the minor leagues, he would ask basically every player or infielder to squat down to see if they could get into the catching position and then try to turn people into catchers. Like he was really good at it too. So he would, like, Victor Caratini was a third baseman. Wilson Contreras was a third baseman. PJ Higgins was drafted as a second baseman, third baseman. He has a long history of converting infielders into catchers.
He asked Zach to do it, and Zach's like, nope, not going to do it.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
Let's talk baseball with Ian Happ. He is on Twitter at ihap_1. The Cubs outfielder, host of the Compound Podcast, joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Well, that was a fun little moment, that double to give the Cubs the lead.
Yeah, that was pretty special. It was just a crazy game and a great comeback for us.
To say the absolute least, to have an inning like that, and frankly, the comeback yesterday too, to have those happen, what does that mean when it comes to just being able to battle the bullpen late in a game like that? Obviously, the outcome was different yesterday, but it's still the principle of knowing that you guys have that fire in you and you're able to put a run together, especially what happened the day before.
Yeah, it's huge. Just to be able to know that we put a lot of really good at-bats together against closers all year, but the only time we really were able to come back and get a win out of it was in Arizona a few days ago. So being able to do that a couple of times in a row, I really feel like the good at-bats piling up and the success, it's just big for momentum. It's big for the team. Obviously, you saw last night we were able to push another one across there. So good with that huge hit. But, yeah, I think, you know, you just got to find a way to keep having at-bats like that late in games, giving ourselves a chance.
Please check my bias on this because it might be revisionist history. But I feel like when I'm near a dugout and I can see what's going on and that kind of inning builds on itself, you can tell. Like, you can tell that a two is going to turn into a three or a four-run inning. Like, sometimes you guys know when you've got somebody on the ropes before they make a pitching change like that.
Yeah, I think the atmosphere in the dugout, the approach, I think when – you know, there's a situation where everybody's kind of on the same page about what needs to be done or the way to approach the pitcher, the situation. Some of those times you just really have a feeling that good things are going to happen.
Then when Chris Bryant comes out of the game with what we found out later was hamstring fatigue, whatever that may be, we're all going crazy. Like, wait a sec, what? Assuming –
because of the time of year and everything that's happening, it's like he's traded. Like, that just happened. We're on hug watch, waiting for all you guys to, you know, dap each other up with your bro hugs and wish him luck elsewhere. And then it was just a nothing. And then Rossi was even sort of trolling after, saying, yeah, we're going to get the media in a frenzy. That's why I didn't want to say anything. Did you guys know what was going on at the time?
Yeah, okay. We all knew his hamstring was just a little tight. You know, that's something that no one, I can promise that no one in our dugout was even thinking that. And so I did see after the game that everybody was losing their minds about it, but it wasn't something that even crossed the minds of the guys in that dugout.
But I enjoy that too. I enjoy the joke and you guys being out on the joke and having some fun with us about it afterward, because even for all the professional broadcast experience that a guy like David Ross has, it's still so great when he recognizes that moment and has fun with us, because we're all seeing something different than what you guys are seeing. Like, I love it when you guys pull back the curtain like that, kind of like you do in your podcast, and talk about moments like that with everybody.
Yeah, I honestly, at the time, it didn't register to me. Like, I didn't even put both of them together and think, like, oh, man, it's coming out of the game. People are going to be really wondering about this. But it was funny to see the reaction on social media and from people after that game.
You are 69 episodes into the Compound Podcast now.
Nice.
And one of the themes that I've noticed, and it came up again as you guys were having your Shohei Ohtani appreciation, and it's something that I've learned to really enjoy about the podcast, is you guys, when you do an appreciation of a baseball player and you hear professional baseball players sort of oohing and aahing and being so wowed by somebody, there's been a lot, because Zach has been in Detroit, go Tigers. There's been all of the Miguel Cabrera appreciation. It's one thing for us to appreciate it, but when you guys who do it for a living appreciate it similarly, or dare I say even more so, I think it really resonates, because you know how hard your job is.
Yeah, I think we have a special appreciation for watching great performances and longevity in this game. I think that just as a player who's been on both sides of the coin in the game, and who's obviously in the middle of my career, it's just so impressive to see a guy like Miguel Cabrera, who's been playing for what feels like 35 years, but I think he's, you know, 15-ish, maybe a little bit more than that in, and it's just the success that he's had, some of the legends he's passing, and you think about the era that he's doing it in, the competition that he's facing, that ballpark. When you talk about putting all those things together, it's really, really impressive. And I think we understand how hard it is, and we respect the effort and the work that goes into what these guys do, and some of the amazing performances that we get a chance to watch.
In your opinion, what is the most impressive thing Shohei Ohtani is doing, whether it's the plate approach, whether it's pitching, whether it's combining the two? What do you think about his season is the most impressive from a player standpoint?
Yeah, his athleticism is crazy. I think just the fact that he has the ability to go out there and, you know, start and give those innings and you know, be really effective on the mound, but offensively it's been astonishing. I think just the the ability that he has to hit balls out of the park all over the strike zone. You know, he's really high up there in the RBI lead in the American League, and it's been so impressive. But I just watch him as a hitter. He's really big, but the way that he uses his body, how efficient it is, it's pretty impressive.
I've been thinking about something you talked about many episodes ago as I watch various at-bats, and you had talked about the stigma of the strikeout, or lack thereof, and the balance in your head between
God, I've struck out twice already. Punched two tickets, and I got to put a ball in play, to having that compromise your effectiveness, that maybe you don't hit a home run or maybe you don't drive the ball because somewhere in the back of your head, you're either worried or embarrassed about strikeouts. And I keep getting back to that because it's really informed my thinking when I see somebody in the middle of a game or in a tough stretch. Are you still battling that? Are you still dealing with this fact of like, I just, whatever happens, I can't strike out again? And then, and so you hit a ball to short and you're like, you know, I probably should have waited for my pitch.
Yeah, I think probably something that everybody struggles with from time to time. And so especially when you're not going great, you just want to, putting the ball in play obviously gives you a chance to have something good happen. Sometimes when you're struggling, or when you want to put the ball in play, you'll kind of, instead of taking that good swing on a pitch where maybe you're a little fooled, or on a pitch where your timing is a little off, you'll foul it off or you swing and miss, which can be a good thing if you're not on time and you don't think you're going to hit it hard, or you maintain your posture and really ride that swing out and find a way to hit the ball hard into the outfield, even on a pitch that maybe isn't perfect. But when you're thinking about not striking out and just putting the ball in play, sometimes that swing, you get halfway through or 90% of the way through your swing and manipulate just a little bit to make sure that you hit the ball and make sure that it's in play. And then you're looking at something on the ground that's probably not very effective. So I think there is this really big stigma around strikeouts in the game with not enough appreciation about how good the pitchers are and what they're doing and how they're shaping pitches and how smart they are with the technology about making pitches look like each other and ball to strike pitches and strike to ball pitches. So I think that there is just kind of an overvalue on putting the ball in play where, instead of, hey, let's have good, hard contact and some balls in the air.
I think that speaks to also what we're seeing as far as the pitchers adjusting again and making adjustments. The sticky stuff crackdown is not as significant a story as it was even a couple of weeks ago. I don't mind pitchers saying that this is a major adjustment. We have to adjust to this. I appreciate it anytime anybody comes forward and talks about it. But we've seen guys now, like Gerrit Cole's going to be the best example of who can make an adjustment. But we've seen guys like that figure out what they need to do to move forward. And once again, it becomes somewhat of a pitcher advantage when you see how they're adjusting even now to what was a huge story in baseball even just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think that 90% of those guys are going to be fine. They're great pitchers, throw really hard. And have great secondary stuff. They'll plenty of technology to go back and look at how the pitches move without stuff and what those shallow shapes play off each other, and they'll make their adjustments. And I haven't looked at any of the numbers, but pitchers are still very effective, still throwing. Everybody out of the pen is still throwing 95 plus. That hasn't changed. It's something that everybody's going to have to adjust around the league.
Before we get the latest on what you're doing with Connect Roasters and charitable endeavors, I just want to ask about the play last night when Riz got caught in the rundown. Do you have any information that we don't have about what happened there? Because it looked like they were kind of conceding the run, and somehow he second-guessed himself or got caught in between. I don't know what your rules are on the base pass there or what was being coached, but how did that end up happening?
Yeah, it's a tough read because they're in an infield in type of situation where they're playing half in. So as soon as that ball's hit, it's tough to know whether they're going to try to go home right away and protect that run or concede the run because, they're starting with a guy on second the next inning. I think if that's a situation where the runner on second doesn't exist. There's no way that they're going to concede that run. They're going to go right after it. But with the runner in second, sometimes conceding that run doesn't seem like the worst thing in the world. And you're playing to not give up two, especially as a home team. But it's just a really tough read. And then that's a really good defensive shortstop for the Cardinals, and just trying to find a way for us to be able to scratch one. So, you know, as soon as they went to the bag at second, I know he took off and was able to stay in that run down long enough for me to get to second, which was a huge play by him just to keep it alive so that one hit scored us a run.
You like that rule, the runner on second in extras?
I do. Yeah, I like it a lot. I think it's been super effective. I read the other day that no game has gone past 13 innings since it was put in, which I think is accurate. And the action, like number of runs scored, as far as your percentage of innings is like infinitely higher. So I think it does the job. I think it keeps games shorter because nobody really wants extra innings and nobody wants, you know, long extra inning games. It's not beneficial for any party. And there's action. It's a way to produce action in the game to make things exciting and get the games over quicker. So it does what it's supposed to do. And I don't understand why anybody would say otherwise, or why there would be a discussion about going back to the old extending rules unless you want more pitchers used and having to have guys sent down and longer games.
Well, when you put it that way, no, as long as you guys are cool with it, I think that's the biggest piece of this. So what is going on with Connect? What's going on with Parse?
Yeah, really excited about the rebrand for Connect is new bags. And then there's Parse aged coffee coming that we can't wait for that's coming very soon. Our partners at Foxtrot actually just announced that they're going to be opening 50 new locations in the next couple of years across the country. So we're super excited for them and looking forward to partnering with them as they continue their expansion and look across the country to some of those new locations.
Ian Happ, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Ian.
That's Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. Next up, we'll turn our attention to the White Sox and what's frankly an uncomfortable story that about which we have to discuss all aspects regarding the future of Yermín Mercedes in baseball. That is next, and Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.